Let's pray. Lord, speak to us in the quiet, speak to us through all that we hear, speak to us through all that we see, and be with us in all that we do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Glasses on. I'm a retired person now. My pension arrived the other day. And I couldn't live on that, really. And it made me think that once upon a time I was one of the pensioners is from the church, and the church, the Anglican church. When I first saw the pension, I thought that's not a lot. I shan't worry about that. But over the years, it kind of grows a bit. It's not a fantastically big pension, but they do have a pension, and they sorted their finances out sufficiently to be able to afford it. They got into awful trouble in the 80s with their pension fund. Well, there wasn't a fund, but that was a problem, and they invested in things that wasn't a good idea. But I was thinking about this, and I was never paid to pray, and the whole point of being a minister is that you weren't paid. No one could turn around and say you're paid to say these prayers. That's your job, because it wasn't a job, and I wasn't paid to pray. And for me, that was quite a spiritual, important spiritually. I wasn't, because I don't think you should be paid to pray. And of course, the Protestant church has rejected this idea that you would pay a minister for so many years to pray for your soul in a private chapel. So I'd have we'd build a little extension off the church, and we'd say prayers, and I would pay a certain amount of money into a fund that would pay the priest to go and pray the prayers. And it was corrupt, terribly corrupt thing. And the Protestant church changed all that and said, no, we're not going to do that anymore. You can't buy your way into heaven, number one. And number two, you can't pay someone to pray for you. And so they had a thing called a stipend. So I was never paid in the church. I was given money to stop me having to work in any other business, called a stipend. And there's more history than Steve will know this. There's more history than that. But it was important to me that I was never paid to pray. I was never paid. I wasn't employed. I was a postholder. And it works out the same, but it's important spiritually that you don't pay your ministers to pray for you. Because I was never good at prayer. I found prayer, I think when I first was converted, I couldn't stay off the prayer meeting. It didn't help that I fancied one of the girls who was in the prayer meeting. But really, I couldn't keep away from the prayer meetings, and I was probably a real nuisance. For what had been a little quiet thing in the chapel at university, now had this sort of scary person making lots of noise, and that was me. But I did find prayer hard. I find prayer still very hard. And if you're someone who finds concentrating on anything for more than a couple of minutes difficult, then prayer won't be easy. I can't concentrate for very long on anything. I can't take anything seriously for long enough to get into prayer. And as a minister, that was quite difficult at times. I just used to get on with it because I saw it as my job. My job was to pray, and I'd go into hospital, and the bit I didn't enjoy or found difficult was the praying bit. So you've got to pray for this person in the bed. Somebody's dying, you've got to pray for them as they're dying. Somebody says there's a problem in my house, you've got to pray, and you've got to pray. And yet I found the whole prayer thing really quite difficult, I'll be honest with you. I'm not a good prayer. I'm not good at all. It's not a new confession. Everyone knows I'm not a good prayer. But I've tried to see prayer as more of a normal thing, and Steve's got on this. We walk with God. We have this relationship which isn't about yaggering at him, at God. It's about enjoying the relationship. And I'm trying to sort of work out a little thing about how we can pray without using so many words. Because when we're stuck sometimes, we just say words and it's yada, yada, yada. I'd rather kind of focus on God and try and get into that relationship. God knows our needs. He doesn't have to hear us. I think prayer's a difficult one. He does want to hear us pray, but he doesn't necessarily want us to get the words right. Because sometimes we can't. So I'm trying to see prayer as getting in this relationship and making our needs known to God rather than our words known to God. And sometimes when I'm praying for my family, I just have to picture them in my mind and say, Lord, can you do something about this prayer or whatever? If we have to do that, I don't think we can do it any other way. And another one of my favourite prayers is, Lord, if I ever forget you today, please don't forget me. And I genuinely do forget God in the day. That's awful. What a confession. But I think the praying without words is quite important. The Eastern Orthodox Church got there before us. They made it easier. They said, here's an icon. And remember, an icon is not an idol. It's a picture. Here's an icon. Meditate on that, and the meditation will become the prayer. They got there first. They said they were kind of hinting that the words aren't that important, and you would look at the picture of Christ, and you could, through it, you could worship and pray. A good idea. They also had the incense idea. So the incense is like our prayers. So instead of having to think of the words, you just make a nice smell, which is a great idea. We have banners, and you can meditate on a banner, and through the banner you can pray. I rather like this idea. But what we know is that prayer does work. And I've said a number of times, and it's a good thing for me, I have to keep remembering, the worst prayer often has the best result. The time when I've been really stuck and I've got to pray, I'm the vicar or whatever, the vicar's away, I can't phone him, ask him to come and pray. My old vicar was very good at praying. Neil Jeffries, it was excellent. And he would pray, and I thought, you've got some bravery you have. I remember going on a housing estate near the Mere, and we sang, it was my idea, we sang songs of praise in the middle of a little green bit on a Sunday afternoon, where all these people who worked in the potteries were just having a nice rest. All these Christians came along and started singing hymns, and some of them were a little kind of, what's the word, a little itchy about this. But Neil went straight in there, and confronted the person in a nice way and prayed. And I thought, good for you. He had some bravery, that guy. He's with the Lord now, but he did have some bravery. And I thought he got more bravery than me. Prayer does work. And where people have prayed, God has worked. God works when we pray. So it's exciting. Prayer's an exciting thing. We don't know what's going to happen next. We can't demand that God does things. And we can't say, and I won't say it, that unless we pray, God won't do things. I think that's a dangerous path. The more we pray, the more God's going to answer our prayer. I don't think that works. Somehow, God wants us to pray. He wants to get us into this relationship with him. But we mustn't stop praying. So how do we pray? Jesus just recruited, in Matthew chapter 6, I'm sure we'll read it in a minute. He's just recruited his band of disciples. He's given a lot of teaching about, we've had it from Steve as well, on the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are these people, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are the meek, etc., etc. The peacemakers we had the other Sunday. And then the disciples said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And so Jesus did. And this was Jesus' own disciples saying, how do we pray? So if we don't know how to pray, we can pray the way Jesus taught us. And I forget how to pray. I don't know if I ever did know how to pray very well. But we need help, especially when the words won't come. And there isn't just one way to pray, of course. What works well for one person might not work for another. And the following thoughts are just offer us guidelines. When we pray, we come to God with something on or someone on our heart. So we come with some kind of, not burden, I think burden would be wrong, but we come with something and we offer ourselves to be channels of love and peace in God's world. So if I want to pray for a person, I've come with them. That's why the picturing, I think, or sometimes may well help. So we've come to God with this burden. Brexit. Ugh. What's the answer to that, somebody? What's going to happen? Have you anyone got a clue? I'm so fed up with it. We've got to pray. This is a once proud and good country. We send missionaries all over the world. We have done some really good things. We've abolished slavery. We've got civil rights. We've got all this lot. And then we've got Brexit. And I don't know what the answer is. We've got to pray somehow. I just say, God, I don't know how you're going to do it. Well, I know you can do it. Sort this mess out, for goodness sake. I don't know what the answer is. I'm so fed up. I don't know about you. I just turn off now. I ought to literally turn the telly off. I turn it over. I can't, because I can't work it out. I don't want to think about it. But we need to come before God with this something on our hearts. And God knows what's there already. So we can be honest with God. We can say, God, I don't know what to say. We can sit in silence and say, God, I don't know what to say. This is where the Jesus prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Or a bit of that. Jesus, some people just turn into Jesus. Jesus. Jesus prayer. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Son of God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. I was taught that you can breathe with that, and it's very difficult. So that all the good things you need to breathe in, Jesus is in, Son of God ought to be in, have mercy upon me, kind of out, otherwise you're going to suffocate anyway. Have mercy upon me, a sinner. So it's two ins and an out. I could never work it out. Someone tell me sometime how you work the Jesus prayer into your breathing, and apparently the desert mystics could do this. But I can't. Jesus, Son of God, have mercy upon me. And by the end of the prayer, you're out of oxygen. So I don't know how that works. But we can use a phrase, sing hallelujah to the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful song? Sing hallelujah to the Lord. We can just repeat that. And repeating isn't like a mantra. It's not a magical thing. We're Christians, for goodness sake. We're actually growing and building through our words. We're not trying to empty our minds. And through Christian meditation, sing hallelujah to the Lord. Sing hallelujah to the Lord. How many times could we repeat that and it really does something for us? I don't know. But the words don't matter. The heart matters. And God knows what's in our hearts and minds. He knows our weakness. Goodness me. And the great thing is, the good news is, he knows our weakness, but he loves us anyway. And he forgets our sins. I'm so grateful that God forgets my sins, because I don't very easily. Be honest with God. Sit in silence. Do that. A quiet space. I get up early in the morning, and I'm very disturbed at the moment because a baby gets up shortly before or shortly after me. Then people get up, and then. But we need this quietness. I spoke to someone the other day, and they run for the quiet. And I thought, gosh, so do I. So did I. I cycle for the quiet. We can get somewhere where we're not going to get disturbed. Or we might join other people for prayer. This is why we come to church, because we're joining with each other for worship. And we just say what we want. We can use our own words. But we can. It sometimes is helpful to use written prayers. I have three books of, not of prayers, but the one is a UCB book. And so I've got two UCBs, word for the day thing. And then one is, I read some Hebrew and I read some Greek. And if I don't quite understand what it's saying, I've got the Bible to translate it. And then I read some Celtic prayers. And that's a nice little pattern for the day. There's lots of stuff on the market, lots of stuff you can buy, nothing expensive. But it's our pattern. And then Jesus taught us how to pray. This is my text, which is a short text, I hope. Jesus said in Matthew 6, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they've received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And then later on, was added, and for the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours now and forever. 9 points I've got. One. Okay, you're going to count these down. First one. Prayer is not just lots of words. Go into a private place even and shut the door. Two. Our Father in heaven. God is in heaven, we are on earth. It's a bit simplistic. God is in heaven, I'm on earth. Because God is everywhere. Jesus was ascended into heaven. But it's kind of was hidden from us. It was went in the clouds. And because the clouds are up, it was assumed that Jesus kind of went up into the clouds. Jesus is hidden from us in heaven. And I think it's a dimensional thing, not an up and a down thing. Hallowed be your name. And it reminds us we're dealing with a holy and powerful God. God who holds the universe in his hands. I was thinking of pi yesterday. Pi is 3.142. Goes on forever. If you're familiar with pi, And is it amazing that the circumference of a circle is 2 pi r? Isn't it amazing that pi r squared is the area? It's absolutely fantastic. God gave us pi. Brilliant. And it's a number. And maths is a pure science. It's science, full stop. Pi, fantastic. It's absolutely fantastic. God came up with this pi. And whilst people can remember pi to several thousand digits, God can remember pi forever. Brilliant. See, I mean, I can't get very far at all. Pi. Brilliant. The way he's designed the planets is fantastic. We're talking about Brian Cox. And scientists do it more and more and more now. They say, I've done all the science and now I'm stuck. Maybe there's a God. Tesla did it. Marie Curie did it. Lots of people have done this through their scientific research. And they leave a blank. They either leave a blank because they won't not be atheist, or they leave a blank because they think they don't know what's next. It's God. And many scientists have come to faith that way. And the Christian scientists, not Christian scientists, but the scientists who are Christians, are worth listening to. Because they will say, I found this gap, and then the gap actually is God himself. God holds the universe in his hands. And the great news is that he's very intimately interested in us. That's 2 points. 3, your kingdom come. We pray that the kingdom comes because we're working for it. The kingdom of God in people's lives. We want God to change lives, and God does change lives. The kingdom is what we're about. We're trying to bring the kingdom into people's hearts, and God will do the hard stuff. We just need to do the introductions. That's number 3. The kingdom is got to come. Number 4, your will be done. In my life, in the lives of my family, the lives of the neighbours, we all want to do the will of God. We want God's will to be done. It's how we want to live. It's what we want to get ourselves into as much as we can. And we go wrong trying to get the kingdom in, or not trying. We go wrong when we forget that we're actually supposed to be working for the kingdom. And when we live outside that sort of work ethic, it's called sin. Anything that doesn't bring the kingdom in or doesn't deal with the kingdom is sin. I'll come to sin in a minute. I want to do the will of God. And by the grace of God, we do his will. That's 4. 5. On earth as it is in heaven. A great shock for many non-believers is that God and his affairs are not just confined to heaven. They're down here on earth. God is at the bottom as well as the top. Which means they're to do with what goes on in Parliament, Brexit, what goes on in school, in work, in street, in the home. There's no area where God's will shouldn't be done. There's no area that's excluded. It's painful for a lot of people, but it's true. You can't keep Christianity out of anything. And I think that's what troubles the other religions, because it works. You can punish and punish and punish a person who calls themselves a Christian, and they'll still at the end still say Jesus is Lord. And the other religions find that very difficult. You can't un-Christianize people very easily. We get the Jehovah's Witnesses in the little passage going into the old, where was the old market. And every time I go, I'm too shy, I'm such a scaredy person. But I'd love to quote some of the bits where they got it completely wrong. All God's angels worship him. Is that in Colossians, God's angels worship him? They can only worship God. And yet, how can they say Jesus isn't God? Thomas said, my Lord and my God. There's nothing wrong with that translation. Something wrong with their translation. They're there. We shouldn't ignore them. I must have more bravery when I go past. But Christianity is there in everything. And God will fight his own battles. We don't have to fight for him, because God is more powerful than anything. That's 5. Give us today our daily bread. We ask God to give us what we need. It's a bit different to asking God to give us what we want. Getting what we need is a bit dangerous because it might not be what we want, but it links back to living within God's will. We have so much here. Generosity is giving more than you can afford, and greed is taking more than you need. And in this part of the world, sadly, there's too much greed. I keep hearing about the shortage of houses. Hundreds of thousands of houses are needed. But I go past houses and they could get 5 or 6 houses in the garden. We've taken more than we need. people building extensions for houses that clearly don't need them. Greed is just getting as much as we can. But I like generosity, giving more than we can afford. How many of us give less than we can afford and only take what we need? I'm guilty of that so often. So we need to think about our daily bread. Forgive us our debts or our sins. It's number seven. Sin. We don't talk about sin anymore. We talk about other things. We sin. We are sinners. I don't know where the word comes from, but it describes how we've fallen short of God's standards. We've failed to keep up to God's standards. We can't not do it. Well, maybe some can. Maybe some are very unsinful. I'm certainly not. But God is the great forgiver, and he is generous and just, forgives us our sins, cleanses us from anything that makes us unclean. That is such good news. So when we say sorry for our sins, even for the things that we don't feel are very bad, then God forgives us. I'm a forgiven sinner. I rejoice that I'm a forgiven sinner. Society might not forgive you, but God does. Eight. What have we got to do? We've got to forgive those who sinned against us. And a brilliant story about the manager of the farm, and he was forgiven the debt that he owed the farm owner. Farm owner goes away, someone else comes who owes the manager, and he has him thrown into jail. It's such a poignant parable. We have to forgive those who sin against us. I love the idea of not having anyone, not being in debt to anyone. Try and do it the other way around. We've got to forgive people. We've got to forgive those who sinned against us. Scatter forgiveness everywhere like confetti, I think, and then you're doing the will of God. Lastly, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We want to avoid the temptation, the giving into temptation, and we don't want a personal encounter with the devil either. We don't want that. So that's just some pointers about prayer. Sadly, Christianity is getting marginalised. Secularism is creeping in. Persecution is coming into this country where you can't... there was a snippet on the television. To disagree is now to hate. If you disagree with another religion, it's a phobia. And I don't understand that. If I disagree with you, I don't hate you. I'd simply disagree with you. And yet it's become homophobia. It's become Islamophobia. And there'd be loads of phobias. And you're breaking the law. If you say, I think homosexuality is wrong, for example, it's homophobia. You've broken the law. And I find that it's absurd in many ways. It's absurd because it's literally censoring the language, censoring the English language. And there's plenty of people who will say these things in private, but they're terrified to say anything in public now. Some things we need to avoid mentioning in public. But it does worry me that we're getting marginalised when we stand up for what the gospel says. In some ways it's good, but in many ways it's stifling the debate, stifling the discussion. If you say that you disagree with something, then you've become phobic to it, which is nonsense. We need to get rid of the notion that this country is a Christian country. We're not Christians because our ancestors were. We're Christians because we've chosen to follow Jesus Christ. So some pointers there about prayer. I would say use the Lord's Prayer. If we're stuck for words, don't bother with words. God knows the words. God knows what we're trying to say. Don't struggle with words. Use pictures. Maybe use icons. There's nothing completely wrong with that. That's not for me, really. But I like to picture somebody and say, God, just deal with these people in according to your will. We're disciples of Jesus Christ. That means we're learning. When we learn to pray, we're learners, and we'll get there. We'll get there by learning. I want to improve in my prayer. I'm not very good, but I want to get there. I want to be able to pray for people, hold them on my heart, hold situations on our hearts, on my heart, and get there in the end. How's your prayer life? It should be getting there. I hope so.